Well, good morning, beautiful people. And we are back. This is Nelima Chowdhury and Natalie Bartram on episode 9, I believe, Nat. We don't use the F word. By the way, guys, I've already used it several times, right?
That's what F word we're talking about.
Yeah, it does. So we're going to be talking about eating disorders and how they affect, you know, both sexes, basically girls and boys. It's something very close to our hearts because me and Nat both suffer from eating disorders. So Nat, I'd like you to start off and say something about your own, you know, experience of your eating disorder.
Thanks for that ball throw.
Sorry, I just kind of threw you in it. Yep.
It's fine.
I'm just getting prepared.
Yep. Start as we mean to go on, shall we?
I thought, let's see what you say about it and then I'll continue. And then there's Steve throwing what? A shortcake in her face.
Well,
yes.
We had two today, no more.
So we have donuts, we have cookies and we have shortcake.
Let's start.
Yep, go on.
Because we need to clarify that eating disorders are about more than what you eat and more than your physical appearance. So they're first and foremost a mental illness with severe physical side effects.
It is indeed,
And that distinction is lost quite heavily.
Yeah,
I've already spoken out about mine quite a bit online because I've done quite a lot of charity work over the years with Beat, which are an amazing charity. I've fundraised for them. I've written stories for them.
It's really good, though, that you've actually kind of approached it and dealt with it and actually tried to help other people. Like, I haven't yet. I've kind of hidden it so much that only my immediate family members know about it. Like, even Steve goes to me, "You have an eating disorder? You eat so much food." You did, didn't you, Steve? He's like, yeah, he goes, "How can you have an eating disorder when you eat so much food?" And I was like, little do you know, my friend, little do you know.
Shame is the biggest word associated with them, because food is the most fundamental thing our body needs.
It is.
And how shameful is it when you can't give yourself the basic thing?
I'll let you share your history first and then I'll tell you about mine, I think.
Okay. So, I mean, for me, I'll share a little bit. I'm sure we'll go back. My eating disorder, I suffer with anorexia, and it started for me when I was 9. And now, looking back and all the things that have happened since then, it's quite clear, and people with far more medical knowledge than me have told me that I was using it to mask all my ADHD symptoms, which I just didn't realise was going on at the time.
But it probably makes more sense now, right?
It does. I mean, because the thing is, I had quite a lot of treatment over the years, inpatient, outpatient. I never quite fit in a box because they'd always say, I didn't quite fit in the box. I don't like to go in boxes, but I didn't tick everything that was required. Like, I was doing all the anorexic behaviours, but it wasn't about how I looked. It was never about, for me, I want to look a certain way.
Yeah.
I always described it as, it makes me feel this way.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about it later, but there's such a...
But it's funny, did you not... I was head of sports and, you know, sports captain, then head girl at Ashfold, but I was a big girl. So everyone that knows me, you know, they know that I was a big girl, to the point where, you know, my brother's friends used to call me Nelly the Elephant. But for me, it was like, do you know what? I'm doing better than all of you lot,
mate. I'm coming through.
You know, even if I'm Nelly the Elephant, you know, like, look at me, love. I am achieving much more than any of you lot. So me being Nelly the Elephant, I had more stamina, more energy than the whole lot of them.
So you were physically fit?
I was physically very fit, very fit. Even though I was bigger, I was fit and I was happy within myself. I was so happy, so confident, like, you know, nothing. I never questioned my body until I went to high school.
So what was, because we all have it, I think, what was that moment that made you question?
When I went to high school.
And did something specific happen?
Yes, because I saw other girls. All they wanted to concentrate on was the way they looked. It was like the Victoria Beckham days. It was the skinny Kate Moss days. It was skinny is beautiful. If you've got larger legs or larger arms or a big face, you're ugly. You're ugly. There was nothing else. That's what I felt as soon as I started the high school. In the toilets, in the girls' toilets, they were all just all about makeup and skinny girls.
Comparing,
to the point where, you know, even my closest friends made me feel uncomfortable because they were all about being skinny and not eating lunch and all this stuff. And I'm like, I need to eat food, guys. I need energy. So I want to go to the canteen, and they're like, no, 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 we're going to go out to town and, you know, just go and
we
see.
We don't eat food on
We Wednesday. Don't eat food, yeah. They don't, they don't. Mm. They lived on peanut butter and jam sandwiches for like God knows how long.
Mm.
And I'm like, I want some chips.
So what made you change? What made you jump on that bandwagon?
You know what it was? It was recognizing that everyone else was getting attention because they were like this. And I was losing my attention. So from Ashfold, I was at number one. I had everyone's attention. I go to the high school, I've got no one's attention. Why? Because of the way I look. Because I'm too fat. Sorry, we don't use the F word.
We don't use the F word.
No, I know, but that's how that's how they made me feel.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh my God, I need to change this. This is the new trend, right? I need to get skinny to get the attention back. And that mentally was what it was. Even within my family, like my brother was always the slim one and I was always the fat one. And so my brother was like, considered like the golden boy. Even though I have more certificates than him at that stage anyway. Do you know what I mean? In that sense, I was like, well, I've done better than you, love. Why am I treated like the black sheep?
Because, I mean, you've said to me before, actually, in your culture, how you look and present yourself is quite
is very important. And my father taught me that, that attire and scent is so important. Alhamdulillah, and till this day, I believe in that. I tell my kids, I teach everyone around me that make sure you look good, you smell good. It's very important. But that does not mean I'm saying to you, be skinny or whatever and everything. No. You still need to be comfortable within your bodies. You know what used to really, really, really like get me upset is when family members used to come to our house and they used to say stuff like, oh, so your brother looks like his mum, but you look like your dad, like in a negative way. You look like your dad. And I was like, so what are you trying to say? That me and my dad, you know, are not good enough? Why? Why?
What connection are you making?
Yeah, what is that? Because we're bigger or, you know, what is it? And that always stayed in my head. And it was just everything put together, like in Asian community, like if you're bigger, you know, people just, I don't know, they just, it's weird. It's not as much now because of the kids now. They're so much more happier within themselves. They're like confident. My kids go to me like, you know, fat shaming, all this stuff. That never existed in our generation, did
it? No, I mean, it's interesting hearing your perspective on it because obviously we went to the same school, but there was a, how many years is it between us?
6 years.
Six,
yeah.
So when I came, it wasn't the Victoria Beckham era. That had gone.
Mine was Kate Moss and then Victoria came in and it was just like skinny is like the way to be.
For me, it wasn't about that. There was, I mean, I was certainly wasn't the only one suffering there, but it was more it was just a competitive thing. It wasn't about, we were trying to look, or for me, it wasn't about that anyway. But for other people, it wasn't about trying to look like celebrities. It was just who can be the best.
Yeah, exactly
who
that though. Attention's, yeah.
Yeah. And almost an element of, oh, I don't know, like it made you less emotional. It made you harder.
It was, for me, it was very difficult because obviously I had so much attention around me, you know, being number one in almost everything, sport, academics, everything. And then going to the high school, going to the bottom and then looking at these girls and everyone's taken over. Why? Because they look better than me. And that's exactly what it was. And I'm like, okay, Nelly, you need to sort yourself out.
So what happened then? So you obviously got there. You obviously were like, right, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, I did. Were the best, but I still love food. I can't stop eating food.
Right. So for you then, it took a different turn. So
it did. Yeah. At the start, I was the same as you. So I just stopped eating.
Yeah.
And I struggled because I was losing hair, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I lost weight and everything. And then I said to my mum, like, you know, and my mum was the only one, and she took me to the doctors and they said, okay, she's got anorexia nervosa. That's what they diagnosed me with. And then I went to John Radcliffe and they did like, you know, they did their, whatever they have to do to, you know, confirm it and everything. And they did. And then anyway, we went back and they're like, okay. And because it was so early, I don't think even doctors knew what to do about it.
No.
Because I'm talking like, well, I must have been, well, I was, what, 11 years of age, 12 years of age. So, and now I'm 46. So calculate that, how many years back that was.
It wasn't mainstream.
No, it wasn't. It was, no. They didn't know how to deal with it, handle it.
No.
There was nothing for them. There was no groups, there was nothing. So they were just like, okay, you just have to, you've got it. You just have to deal with it yourself, basically. So we just went back home. My mum was just like, okay, you just have to deal with it. You need to start eating. She was like, you just need to eat food. And I was like, but mum, like everyone's calling me fat. How can I eat food? I used to sit down at the dinner table, even with guests, we would go to a family event or something. And my mum would physically, she would say to me, okay, that's enough now, get up now.
So then it's like, you can eat, but you can't eat too much.
Yes, yes.
Because you still need to look good.
Yeah, but mum was saying it for my benefit. It's not her fault. She was just saying it like, okay, this is portion control.
There's one
but
thing,
I never realised that.
There's one thing I need to say here, because it's so missed. It's so missed whenever you read about recovery from eating disorders. No one ever talks about the fact that when you start eating again, it's like a beast in your body takes over.
It is.
Isn't it?
And
you have to eat everything in sight. And it's so scary.
Yes, but that's exactly what happened. And then anorexia turned into bulimia.
Yes. And it's never talked about.
No.
No one ever talks about that thing.
They don't. And you know, at the time, you know, I just want to mention this. I have no hostility against anyone. You know, everyone's got their own story to tell. And unfortunately, certain people aren't alive to tell their stories. But for me, in the media at that time, I used to follow the media a lot. So my icon used to be Princess Diana. And she suffered from bulimia for years. And I think the whole world is aware of that. But when I saw that even her own family, they were like, just not bothered about it. They just kind of said like, yeah, she suffers from bulimia and just kind of like dismissed it. She had no help whatsoever. She did cry out for help. She, you know, her cry out for help was the fact that she stated that I have bulimia, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That was her cry out. But did anyone help her? Did it come out in the media as much? No, we just knew that Princess Diana suffers from bulimia and that was it. How do we help her? How do we actually help her?
What's missed though is that question is
that's what made me believe, oh, it's okay to have bulimia then.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a trendy disease to have bulimia. Wow. You know, Princess Diana has it. So if I have it, then why not? And I carried on. And it got to the extreme level where, I started off by putting fingers in my mouth to take my food out. And it got to an eventual stage where I didn't even have to do that because my throat got so used to it, it came out naturally.
It's something because I've listened to quite a lot of varying podcasts and things about this in the past. And you've always got to be very careful, haven't you? Particularly with anorexia, of never mentioning what weight you got to.
Yeah.
Or not mentioning what you did.
Yeah.
Because people listen and they take tips. But that always annoyed me because then I'd be listening to them thinking, but yeah, now I feel weird. Why can't I listen to people
exactly.
say what they're doing?
Yeah.
I feel normal.
Yeah. I used to watch programs that like documentaries related to anorexia or bulimia. And it's almost like I wanted to get ideas from how other people are dealing with it because I didn't have any knowledge of it. There was no one else that could share it with me, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone at high school was just like, and they just seemed to be slim anyway. Even my best friend, I met her yesterday and I was saying to her, you were always slim though, so you never had a problem. And she goes, I never knew that you suffered from it. And I said, yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
It's just a shame cycle, isn't it? And the thing...
And you hide it. You don't share it because it's like...
That's how
yeah.
it multiplies.
Yeah, I know.
Like... It thrives off the secrecy.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
And yeah, it does.
Like it almost convinces you, whether it's bulimia or anorexia, it convinces you, I'm going to help you. I'm your friend.
Yeah.
You do this,
yeah.
you're going to feel this way.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, right, you're a bit of a toxic friend, but fine.
Yeah,
I'll go
yeah.
with it for a bit.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh God, how are we here?
Yeah.
You're my only friend now.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I can't reach anybody else.
Yeah.
But it lies to you.
It does. And not only that, Nat, like I saw it as like a punishment to myself. So when things used to happen, I was like, right, I'm just going to binge eat now and then I'm just going to throw it up, you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, what? I think, yeah, I mean, that's a whole
And it was almost like when
that.
I, now that I can link it to my bipolar,
yes.
it makes sense. It makes
oh,
more
yeah,
sense.
Yeah. It's like a physical representation.
It is,
yeah,
it is. Yeah. That was my coping mechanism.
Yeah.
So eating loads of food and then getting rid of it was my coping mechanism, you know, that
and,
was it.
And for me, not eating was my regulation.
So see?
It
yeah.
made me, because I felt so much having ADHD, it made everything less. And so it was like, literally, I was using it as my medication.
But then it was so strange because I didn't like doing it, obviously. And then I got, you know, I got involved in extreme sports, i.e. I was doing like 7 days a week. I'd be in the gym. I'd be swimming at 6 o'clock in the morning. I went to university and I was the skinniest I've ever been. I used to come back at the weekends and my dad would be like, he'd check my arms to see if I was doing any drugs or something. That's how severe it got, because I lost a lot of weight. Mm. You know, all my family was saying like, oh my God, what are you doing? Like, are you not eating, whatever? And they just, I don't know. And it was not their fault. It's just that they obviously, they saw the change in me. I went from being really big to like all of a sudden like really skinny. How did you do that? But I was just, you know, killing myself, like just doing extreme levels of sport, extreme levels.
And then the bit that's missing is you get diagnosed, don't you? Like, I've got bulimia, I've got anorexia. But then, I mean, it took me until I was in my 30s having treatment for finally a therapist to say, why are we doing this?
You got
this?
It. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Not just you
questioning
are
questioning it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why?
Mm.
And then my ADHD diagnosis came out and everything made sense. And it was like, why was that question not asked before?
Mm.
It's not like you just wake up and, well, nobody decides to have an eating disorder.
But this is what I'm saying. Before, there wasn't so much of an awareness, right?
Yeah.
So as soon as the awareness came about and then everyone talked about fat shaming and all this stuff, so all of a sudden now it's like, it's a big thing now. It's a big thing. And everyone, previously, it was just recognized in women. I have to mention now.
It's huge.
For men, it's huge.
We shouldn't say the H word. It's not huge.
No, I know.
Growing.
It's growing. Yeah, it is. But
yeah.
It needs to be mentioned. And I think men find it more difficult.
Oh, it's almost more embarrassing.
It is, yeah.
And not just the eating disorder. It's almost always, also as well, men taking all these extra supplements.
Yes, yes.
To bulk out,
yeah.
That seems to be the in
yes,
thing.
Yes, it is,
and
yeah.
It's almost the same thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Just altering your image because you feel less than.
Yes.
In an unhealthy way.
It is. 100%. So before, I didn't even, you know, I was so naive and I used to think that, oh, it's only something that women suffer from, eating disorders. I never ever, like, until, obviously, like, you know, now, we recognize it more that so many more, like a lot of my friends, when they mention it and I see them struggling with their weight, you know, and et cetera. And it's just like, oh my God, I've been through this. I can actually help you guys, you know. I mean, it's not that I can help them, because I still, till this day, have to admit that I still suffer from it.
I refer to it as I'm in remission.
Yeah, same here. I go through remission periods where I'll just work it out, as in gym it out.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing extra exercise. You go for runs.
Yeah.
I, you know, I go to the gym, I box, I swim, you know, I do all that stuff and I dance or whatever. I know I'll do something like, just if I've eaten, if I know I've eaten a certain amount of calories, I'll go and do some sit-ups and squats and, you know, try and break the calories. Before, I used to count it on my watch. Nowadays, they've got watches that can count all that stuff.
Oh, I can't go near them.
But
and
I used
to, it's too triggering.
I was a fanatic because I had all my family members have these watches and we used to compete with each other. How many calories have you burnt every day? And I would always top it.
You'd be like, I'm going to beat you.
Yeah, I'm going to beat you. I'd be at Nuffield 3-4 times a day.
Yeah.
That's how I used to do, just to beat them, just the satisfaction that I'm number one. I'm still number one, guys.
Yeah.
Crazy calories.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd still eat a lot,
but
knowing that I've burnt it, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
And that kind of controlled it.
Yeah.
For a certain time.
Control the beast.
Mm. But then, obviously, because of my mental health, I stopped going to the gym. I stopped exercising and it all came back. So the binge eating, because it was like, I'm hungry and I used to binge eat and then punish my body. And yeah, I didn't know. It was like a cycle, just like bipolar. It was just like a cycle. So bulimia to me was just like a cycle, like bipolar.
The best, I mean, I always think the best thing almost is calling it out, though. It's talking about it.
I know.
It's not going to fix it. But almost by saying, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm going to do, it almost takes a tiny bit of its power away.
Yeah.
It's still going to do it, but it takes...
It's strange though, isn't it? Because it's the very first time that even me and you haven't had a conversation about this, right?
No, we haven't.
It's
so everything else.
It's so personal to us that we've kind of avoided it. And so many of my friends and family have said, when are you going to talk about eating disorders?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Yeah, we will.
We'll get to it.
Yeah. And then it was just like, and then you were the one that said to me today, like, you know, well, last week, that Nelly, we need to do this.
You need to call out the elephant in the room.
Yeah, literally. Thanks.
Oh, I mean it as a term of endearment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now it doesn't hurt me, but at one time that was classed as bullying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so all these people, they know who they are, was bullying. And now at least it's recognized, both girls and boys.
And even not bullying as such, though, sometimes people say things and they don't realize what impact it's going to have. So I think for me, people didn't bully me, But it was throwaway comments that because I had ADHD, I took it so personally.
Yeah.
And it snowballed into something else entirely in my head. And to them, it was like, it wasn't even a big deal.
Yeah. But for me, it was
it's
so
different for you.
It was. For me, it was so funny because even when they used to bully me, I was like, I'm doing better than all of you lot. So do you know what I mean? Like fat or not, sorry, F word, we're not going to use it, but large or not large.
I'm in charge.
Yeah. I am in charge. There you go. That's exactly what it was. So I was like, jog on, love. Yeah. You know, and it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't until I went to high school and I was like, great.
I mean, in all girls school, it's like a recipe for disaster.
Disaster. Really. Yeah, it was. It was. I didn't know what to do because I was, you know, and I hated when people said, oh, you're cute. And I was like, yeah, you're saying that I'm the F word, you know. Cute was like, you know, you're cute, you're bubbly. Come on, bubbly. Yeah, bubbly was just like another word, yep. Another word to replace the F word was bubbly.
I remember it was just like when I was at the high school, we had an assembly. So it was in year nine. That's like the height of this stuff happening because you're like 14, 15.
Yeah.
And the whole year group got called into said hall.
Yeah.
And it was literally, they'd brought in a mental health professional. We've got a problem. Either people in your year group, you're either not eating or you're cutting yourself.
Yeah.
And then they literally said, it needs to stop.
Yeah.
And we all just sat there like, oh, what the fuck are we supposed to do then?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
But it was like, that's how it was addressed.
It was.
But it was literally, it was everybody. It was like every single person in that year group was suffering from something.
Yeah.
And then the lady said, oh, it's so funny. She literally said, if you're finding this too triggering, you may leave. And every single person was like, I'm getting out of here. I'm not talking about this.
But even you know, even till this day, I find it really difficult to go on the scales, you know, in certain things.
Yeah, I don't get near them.
You know, when we go to the doctors and they want to do your weight and I'm like, so uncut, let me just take my jacket off and anything that I can, right, to be lighter. You know, mentally, this is how it is. And not only that, you'd be surprised when at that time I was, 11, 12, and I used to think that maybe if I got rid of blood from my body, I'd be slimmer. And hence, you know, I did things that tried to get rid of blood from my body because I was thinking, okay, maybe that will work. You know, if I get blood out of my body, that's going to make me slimmer. I took, water retention tablets to get rid of the extra water. That's going to make me weigh less. And then I recognized, you know, I realized that I don't want to weigh myself because it makes me feel even more sick than I am.
Do you know something I've done? Because I have two girls and it terrifies me. I have two young girls that all this drama and stuff. And what I did is while they were growing up, from quite a young age, I cut the age out of their clothes. So they don't know what size they're wearing.
Okay.
They don't need to know. There's no reason for them to know.
See, that's a good thing,
So they've got no, because I remember that was something for me. Like, why am I in an age size bigger?
I couldn't
than
fit
I
into
be?
Anything. Yeah, my mum always struggled to find clothes for me.
And actually, there's a brand of clothing now, which is very in, I won't name it, and they don't put sizing in their clothes for that reason. So young girls go in, they don't have to look at sizing.
I know, but at the same time that I think I should mention here is that, you know, too much relaxation on the whole weight thing is bad as well because it's leading to obesity to the point where everyone's like, oh, we can't say anything, it's fat, F-shaming, whatever.
Yeah.
And now the situation is obesity is increasing day by day, like, honestly, and it's scary. And because what do we do about it? So it's like we've gone from one end of the spectrum to another.
Well, there's a crazy thing with weight loss jabs, isn't there?
There right is. Now it's like huge.
People are getting them from like super drug on the sly.
You don't even, it doesn't need to be prescribed.
No.
And again, pharmaceutical companies are making money out of our weaknesses. Yeah. Yes or no?
I'm no comment, but yes.
Exactly that. And this is, you know, we need to change that. It's all, you know, the new trend is all medication. What are you putting into your body?
I mean, it comes back to though, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. Because I used it.
Ooh.
last year I was 19 stone.
Oh, tell us.
Yeah. I went on Mounjaro and I lost 6.5 stone in just over 3 months. And then I stopped because I said, that's enough. That I don't want to lose anymore because I am now the perfect man, obviously.
Obviously. Our podcast isn't filmed. But we can tell you.
For me, it was the right thing to do. I went to my doctors first. I spoke to him. I said, look, I'm, you know, heavy. And he looked at me and went, yeah. And I said, look, I need to lose it. I said, I've tried everything. I want to try this. Is it safe for me to do? And he gave me a load of medical tests and all the rest. But he said, yeah, you're perfectly fit, apart from the fact you're rather large. And so I then went to, because in our health authority, they don't prescribe it, you have to do it privately. So I went to an online firm and they said, yes. A clinician came on and he spoke to me and he talked to me and said, right, okay. And then he then wrote to my doctor to say that has been to speak to us and wants to take this course. Is it safe for him to do? My doctor said, yeah, and I know about this. I did it for, I think I did it for 4 months in all. I lost the amount of weight. I lost it scarily fast. I was able to say, no, I've done what I want to do. I mean, I could have gone on with it for, yeah, I could have been like a stick insect
you're
now.
You're one of the strong-minded ones, whereas but, other people, they get addicted.
Yeah, but I do have an addictive personality. But yeah. But no.
How did you feel physically taking it? How did it make you feel?
Actually, brilliant. Because I had no side effects, but again, maybe because I stayed to the low doses because it was working on me, because it's a titrated dose. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to go up in dose all the time.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I don't want to do that. I'm happy losing the weight I'm losing at the moment, because I was losing, 2 or 3 kilos a week.
Wow.
And the biggest cost was clothes.
Yeah.
It was costing me a fortune. So no, I lost 10 inches off my waist in that period of time. But I had no side effects. The other thing I found was I was never, ever hungry. And so much so that I had to actually write on the refrigerator door, eat some food. Because, and so I would eat something. I'd go out with my mates and, you know, we usually go out and do a pie and chips or whatever and have a couple of mouthfuls and say, yeah, okay, that's enough.
Mm.
So you know, I'm not going to knock them because they work for me.
Time and place.
But it was, for me, it was a kickstart.
Yeah. And was it, when you were on it, was it regulated by the doctor? Did they check in on you?
I went to the doctor afterwards to say, you know, I finished doing it.
Yeah.
And he sort of went, oh my goodness. Yeah, you've lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And so... I was happy with it, but I do know people who have misused it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Steve, for that. That's helped us a lot. Yeah, it is, and especially from a male as well, because obviously, you know, it just emphasizes the fact that men suffer from eating disorders too, which I was naive about. I think a lot of people are unaware or don't really put that much importance to the fact that men suffer from eating disorders too, isn't it, Nat?
Yeah, I think it's...
But now in our friend circle, we see it. And not only in our friend circle, even within my own circle, family members, etc., they do suffer from eating disorders. And, you know, everyone's just keeping
it... It's not just overweight, is it?
No, it's not. It is the same. Underweight. Well. Yes, yes. Yes, yes, 100%. It's the same. But anyway, we're almost... Okay, guys, I think we're almost running out of time. And I just want to finish... by saying a few words on behalf of all of us, so me, Nat and Steve, and yeah, just to all of you guys, and yeah, I just want to end it with this. So, eating disorders, the silent battles we still fight. For every girl or boy who is still learning to love herself or himself again, eating disorders are not stories from our past. They are shadows that follow us, sometimes quiet, sometimes loud, sometimes so familiar that you forget where the illness ends and where you begin. For many young girls, for many young boys, the world teaches us early that our worth is tied to perfection. Perfect faces, perfect bodies, perfect lives. But nothing destroys a girl or a boy more deeply than chasing an image that was never real in the first place. Anorexia is not vanity. It's a prison built from fear, control, and the desperate need to feel enough. It's pretending you're fine while the world applauds your discipline, not knowing it's slowly killing you. It's shrinking yourself physically because you feel invisible emotionally. Bulimia is even quieter. It hides. It smiles. It functions. People say, oh, you look healthy, not knowing the war that happens behind bathroom doors. Bulimia is the pain of wanting nourishment, but fearing it at the same time. The guilt, the shame, the secrecy. The cycle that promises release, but delivers destruction. And yes, this is still part of my life. My eating disorder didn't disappear just because I grew stronger in other areas. I have learned to fight it, to face it, to expose it to the light instead of letting it rot me in silence. But the truth is, I still suffer with bulimia. I still have days where food feels like an enemy. And that doesn't make me weak. It makes me human. People see me and Nat as powerful women. You know, the Bengal tigress, the creative queen, the born to make a difference force. But behind the scenes, we are girls who survived things that were meant to break us. We've both battled with eating disorders in our own ways. We both know what it feels like when your body becomes a battlefield. We've held each other up, checked on each other, comforted each other when emotions triggered old habits. Our friendship is not built on glamour. It's built on raw truth, on healing, on the promise that we will never let each other disappear again. The truth that no one talks about. Eating disorders are not just about food. They are about trauma, pressure, expectations, abandonment, heartbreak, perfectionism, fear. Girls like us grow up too fast. We learn to please everyone and forget ourselves in the process. And then one day, the body says, I can't carry this pain anymore. Healing is not linear. No one wakes up cured. Healing is a daily choice to nourish, to rest, to forgive yourself, to ask for help, to speak your truth, to not punish your own body for the world's failures. Some days we win, some days we don't, but every day we choose life, and that is courage. For the girls and boys like us, if you are listening to this and you are struggling with anorexia, bulimia, or any eating disorder, you are not disgusting. You are not weak. You are not broken. You are not alone. You are fighting a disease that thrives in silence. So the moment you speak, you are already healing. Me and Nat are still healing too. You know, it's a work in progress. We are powerful women with vulnerable hearts. We are warriors with scars. We are living proof that you can be strong and still struggle, and that is okay. Born to make a difference doesn't mean being perfect. It means turning your pain into purpose. It means using your story to help save someone else's. It means choosing to stay, even on the days your mind tells you to disappear. And I'll continue with Nat speaking about this openly, honestly, unapologetically, because silence kills, but truth heals. Thank you very much. Nat, any last final words?
I think you said it all.